Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
To possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child, such as this, in my name, receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I lived in London for 3 years in the early 80s. As most of you know, for many years before I went into the seminary, I worked with university students on campuses throughout the United States and different places in the world. We were working with students at the University of London, London School of Economics, and the London Business School. There was one of the graduate students living with a group of men I was a part of, and he was attending the London Business School, which was called at that time the Harvard Business School of England. Very reputable place. He was taking an ethics class, and his ethics professor posed to them this ethical situation. You were brought in to save a company as a CEO. You weren't there too long before you realized that you could go one of two different ways. The company was in even worse shape than everybody suspected. You could sell off its assets now, and that would be best for the investors and the employees because it wasn't going to get any better. But that would make you look bad because you were called in to save the company and what you did was just dissolve it. Or you could keep up appearances for a couple of years. You could get some short-term benefit. You could trash the company, get out, look good, and then it would crash down on the employees and the investors. So, from an ethical point of view, what was the right thing to do? This was an ethics class in a graduate school of great repute. And the professor said their first obligation was to themselves. Because who is going to look out for them? Because that's how the world worked. Otherwise, you were a sucker. That is the way that the world works. Jesus gives us a different option. Today's gospel, he talks about children. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. In Matthew, he says, whoever becomes humble like this little child will be the greatest. The greatest will be like this little child. In the next chapter in Mark, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Receive the kingdom as a child, humble yourself like the child, welcome such a child in my name. Now again, this would have been understood differently by Jesus' hearers than it would be for us. Children represent something a little different. For us, I think we look at this and say, oh, well, they're cute and they're innocent. Well, they may be cute, but innocent? Give me a break. What's the first words they learn? Yours? What's the first words? No. I mean, we're selfish by nature. With grace and training, we can take on a different way of being. But for the hearers of Jesus, children did not represent being cute and being innocent, but being dependent, being powerless and vulnerable, perhaps trusting. But children were without rights. Children weren't full persons. Children were to be profited from and taken more seriously when they matured. They did not have the rights that children in our society rightly do. I'm not sure for us children is the best image here to understand what Jesus was saying. I think someone who has this position of being dependent and powerless and vulnerable would be more someone severely mentally or physically handicapped, someone homeless, someone poor. I think a good image of what Jesus is talking about here would be those unborn, dependent, powerless, vulnerable, those viewed by some in society as contingent, expendable. No, unless we become vulnerable, dependent, and powerless, trusting, we can't enter the kingdom of God. We can't be, according to the words of Jesus, great. I can't resist the opportunity to give us an example all here of someone who I think captures this so well. I don't know if all of you know Patrick. Patrick is here almost every Sunday. Hello, Patrick. I'm talking about you. Hello there. I don't know if I know a happier person. I don't know if I see someone who so consistently has a smile on their face. I don't know someone who, for whom it's as hard to get to church as it is for Patrick. He will be wheeling his chair here in the cold rain. We've actually changed his clothes one time when he got here soaking wet, when it was about 30-some degrees. But he was coming to church, and he had a smile on his face. And he's full of faith, and he has the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he, paralyzed severely, has a hard time talking, can't fully care for himself. But full of, he may have more joy than most people here. How? I believe it has something very much to do with this kind of attitude of powerlessness, invulnerability, and dependence that is the key to greatness in the kingdom of God. Last week we heard about Jesus warning his disciples that he was going to suffer and die. He does that a number of times. He does it in the gospel again today. And he says they did not understand what he was saying. They didn't question him at that, because last time, remember, Peter said, when Jesus said he was going to die, he said, no, it'll never happen to you. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Ouch. That was right after he said, you're the Christ. From you're the Christ to get behind me, Satan, in the same paragraph. So they didn't get it again this time. They were talking about who was the greatest. And Jesus questioned them about it, and frankly, they were just embarrassed. And Jesus, I can almost see him. It says, he sat them down, he called the 12, and he said to them, let me tell you something. If you want to be first, if you want to be great, you need to be last. If you want to be first, you need to be last. And the servant of all, and as an expression of this kind of servant nature, that's the polar opposite of what that professor was talking about in his ethics class, is the polar opposite. Jesus says, greatness in my kingdom is being like this child. Receive this child. Have the attitude of this child. See in this child what I am talking about, something that is dependent and vulnerable, something that is powerless on our own, but then that disposes us in a way to receive the treasures of heaven. James talks about something similar in the reading today. He says, in one of the lines I think I quote as much as any others in the scripture, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Not just for stuff for ourselves, but for the character of Christ. To really be his servants? Are we the servants that we can be because we do not ask to be so? Do we ask to be powerless, independent, and vulnerable? That's not our first prayer, is it? It's not mine. That shows me something that should change. And he says, you ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly. He says, you ask for your passions. You ask for your ungodly desires. And he says, these are the things that cause wars. Things that set our world ablaze, set our hearts ablaze, cause the conflicts that we so often find ourselves in. These ungodly desires, the antidote is to ask rightly. To ask, in this instance, to be more like a child. So how do we become children? How do we avoid asking wrongly? One of the great pictures of true greatness in the scriptures is Philippians 2, where it says, Jesus himself emptied himself of all that was God so that he might become a human being. And because he emptied himself and became a slave, it's even a stronger word there than servant, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and his name is above every other. The one who was emptied, the one who was lowered, is now raised above all because he became a servant. And it is in being a servant that one is great in God's economy. We empty ourselves. Jesus emptied himself of all that was of God. We empty ourselves of all that is not of God. We empty ourselves of adult illusions of independence. Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from me. And we have illusions that we can. But in terms of making an eternal difference, in terms of the kingdom of God, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, and working without God and apart from that, we can truly do nothing. We empty ourselves of the delusion that we can control all the circumstances of our life. We spend so much energy when the control is an illusion. Jesus tells the parable where the fool is told, this day your life will be required of you, and who can stop it? Do you want to be more filled with the Holy Spirit? Then empty yourself of all that's not of God. If we're already full of ourselves, what room is there for the Holy Spirit? But as we empty ourselves of our passions and delusions and illusions and all that's not of God, then indeed there is room for heavenly strength. Empty ourselves of pride and lust and fear and resentment and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and criticalness and slander and whatever it is that fills you up. We empty ourselves in order to be filled. Pray to be dependent, vulnerable, and trusting. You do not have because you do not ask. How many people in church today? Let's say 200? 300? 250? Okay. Say there's 250 people here. If everyone here puts themselves first, then you have 249 rivals. If we all put one another first and are servants of all, which is precisely what Jesus is teaching us to do, of which the child is a representative, If we all put one another first, then we have 249 advocates. So what's going to be better for you? Having one advocate or having 249? That's the power. That's the dynamics of the kingdom of God. Be great. Be a servant. Become like a child. Can we all pray in our hearts? Lord Jesus, help me to become more dependent and vulnerable and trusting in you.